Welcome to the OCRWC podcast. Today, I'm joined by Joshua Fiore, one of the original OCR pros who shows no sign of slowing down. From winning the first Spartan Ultra in 2017, a death race finisher, Spartan Pro Team racer, and multi-time World Toughest Mudder athlete, Josh has pretty much done it all. But he's got big plans to push it even further. Welcome to the OCRWC podcast. Your name, I've heard a lot, and I just want to check that I'm pronouncing it right, because I was saying it for like 28 hours at World's Toughest Mudder. Josh Fiore.
That's correct.
Great. Yes. I do find with American names, the pronunciation is very different from what the European pronunciation would be, and I get myself in trouble, but that's good. That's how we'd say it here. So welcome to the OCRWC podcast. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Good to be here.
Amazing. It's good to have you. Like I say, I've heard your name a lot, and it was only just a couple of weeks back at World's Toughest Mudder that I finally got to meet you, and I was like, oh, Josh Fiore, okay, this is cool. And you ran World's Toughest Mudder. It was it's a big event and it was great, but let's take it back a little bit and talk about who you are and where you've come from and what you've done in racing.
Yeah, so my name is Josh Fiore, as you said. I've been an OCR athlete for about 10 years. I've never really was an athlete before I found OCR. I actually got into running in my 30s. My first race was Warrior Dash in like 2011, I think.
That's old school.
I think a lot of people's first race here in America was was Warrior Dash, and I really wasn't that good at all at it. It was awful. Oh my god! I barely finished. And even like being a fun race like that, it kicked my butt. And then I did my first Spartan race later on that summer, and again, kicked my butt, came in like 40th place, like in the elite heat. I was like, oh, I used to be fast when I was really, really young. And so I just started training more and more for it, specialized in like obstacle course racing. And I was pretty good, but I really found kind of my niche in like the ultra endurance stuff. Mm-hmm. I just know that I could just basically outlast a lot of other people. So yeah, kind of led me to winning the first Spartan Ultra World Championship in Iceland in 2017. That was probably one of the coolest moments of my life. And then following that, I keep racing. I mean, I'm in my 40s, but I don't think I'll ever stop.
I love that. I'm just going to point out, I love your accent, the way you said 40s. I can't even do it, but it's such a good accent.
That's the Boston accent. So I'm originally from Massachusetts, but I live up here in New Hampshire, which is heaven for trail and mountain running. I'm right outside my doorstep. There's a mountain in every direction. So it's awesome. I love it.
That's something that you have in the States, is just really good landscape, really easily available to just go out and get running. And that seems to impact a lot of people's running. Like, you see a lot of really good athletes kind of coming from the same areas. At the minute, it's kind of Colorado, a lot of them out there. And it must make such a difference to what you can do, having that so readily available.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably about 45 minutes from Killington.
Wow.
Excuse me. About 45 minutes from Killington, Vermont, which, you know, we don't have the elevation that Colorado does. You know, a lot of my friends train, they come from Colorado, and I race against them, and, you know, it's like they're like floating when they come down to my elevation. But, you know, it's gnarly terrain around here, though. Like, the running is just so hard. I always like to play a game of like, is that a riverbed or is that a trail? And they usually do the same thing, because it's just gnarly, pointy rocks that you just have to jump around. But it just makes you into a strong runner. I mean, I love it.
I was amazed the first time I went out running on trails, which was thanks to Spartan Race, actually. I used to like running when I was younger, and then I would just run on the roads, and then I was like, I need to run on mud. And I was running, I was like, wow, this is going really fast. This is really interesting. And it's kind of a bit of a joke, isn't it, between road runners and trail runners, like the difference in what it is. It's quite amazing. Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because I hated running when I was younger. I mean, I actually probably would have been really good at running if I stuck with it when I was like very young. I went right into the military from high school, and part of the PT test is you have to do a 2 mile run as part of the Army PT test. And I could do it in like 10 minutes with like, and like, it was fast, but I hated running. The only reason why I ran fast was because like, I just wanted to get it done.
It's great motivation.
Exactly. But like you said, like it was my first, you know, like Warrior Dash and then the Spartan race, I actually rolled my ankle really bad, but like, I fell in love with trail running. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I can run like on trails and mountains. Like, I thought that was just for hiking. Like, it's awesome. Wait a minute. You can run like down a mountain. It's scary as hell, but it's so much fun.
So much fun. So you said that your first races kicked your ass. What was your reason? Well, firstly, what was your reason for trying out a Warrior Dash or, you know, an OCR? Why did you first want to do it?
It just like any other story, it all comes down to a girl. No, no, it was about my ex-girlfriend. We were still friends at the time, and she sent me like a commercial for Spartan Race. And it was like I said, it was 2011. It was like all these like warriors running around with like, you know, the gladiators like hitting.
Oh, I love the gladiators.
I saw this video and I'm like, oh man, I want to try that. And it just like ignited something in me. And I'm so thankful for her and that video, because I probably never would have gotten into this. And it's not even just that, but like, I've been all around the world. Like, I never would have probably gone to Iceland, to all these other countries, to the northern part of Sweden, to Europe. Like, I've traveled all around the world because of OCR, and I have OCR to thank for that. And it's amazing. And the friends and my race family.
It is. I love the traveler. I said this when we were in Texas World Stuff. I think I have insulted someone. So I was like, I love going to places that I'd never choose to go to. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, well, the thing is, money is tight. So unless there's a reason why I wouldn't necessarily choose to go to Texas when there are so many places to go to in the world. And I loved it. And I love all the places I've been to. I mean, you could literally stick a pin on a map and go there and love it. But OCR gives you a reason to. And it's, yeah, OCR tourism, the best excuse for traveling.
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely. I mean, I was stationed in Texas, and I honestly would never think about going to Texas if it wasn't for World Toughest Mudder. Even Florida, like, I'm not, you know, I'll definitely be there next year for World Toughest Mudder. I initially said that I was going to just pit, but after what happened this past World Toughest Mudder, I'm just going to say it. I'm definitely competing again this year. It's my A race. But yeah, I never would have thought of going to like Dallas, Texas. And it was awesome. It was so cool. The people are amazing there. Like, the going around like where JFK was shot around the city, like exploring the city. But yeah, the people, like everything was amazing there. It was so much fun.
I've only recently in the last few years started traveling to the States more because of OCR, and being a typical non-American, I get there, I'm like, oh my God, a Target. Oh my God, Tootsie Rolls. Oh my God, there's a flag. And you sound like an idiot. And people are like, really? Like, yeah, it's so exciting. You see this in the movies.
That makes me feel better than when I go to Europe, because I feel the exact same way.
It is good. It can be quite hard to get people to travel for races. The thing is, I know money exists and it's a great problem for all of us. But I'm just like, people are like, oh, it's a really far way to travel for X, Y, and Z race. I'm like, look, you just won't regret it. Give up thinking about it and just do it, because you know it's going to be the best trip you have this year. Just do it.
That's always been my motto with life in general, is experiences over things. You know, like, it's good to have things, obviously, but just, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, I don't want to say, you know, like, oh, I wish I had like that fancy car. I just wish I went to, you know, California. I wish I went to like another country. And that it gives you that. I love that aspect.
Yeah. Same. Absolutely same. So going back to right at the beginning of career, I think a lot of us have a similar story. Well, from what I found from people, it's either kind of like, I did my first race and I sucked, but I like it. Or I did my first race and I was surprisingly good. Now, I was in the I sucked, but I like it camp.
I wasn't alone. That's good to know.
I mean, I probably sucked more than you, but I was like,
it was fun.
So what happened? Like, how did you go from sucking to not sucking?
So, I mean, first of all, and a lot of people are kind of surprised when I say this, like, I was smoking at the time. I was a smoker. I smoked for like 15 years. You know, in the military, it's very easy to become a smoker. They're cheap and everybody does it.
So cheap in
So,
America.
yeah.
So. Oh. Okay, we're going off on a tangent boulevard for a second, but I saw like we're in a gas station when I was in Florida or something, and it was like a really tiny one, and there was a packet of cigarettes, like 20 cigarettes, like $8 or something. And I think in the UK now they're about 16 or 17 pounds for a pack of 20,
Oh wow.
which is what,
Yeah,
like $21, 22. And I was like, that's crazy. That's so cheap.
definitely
So.
depends on what state you're in, because it's all about taxes, which I'm all for. Like I'm certainly like against smoking now, you know, like I've seen how the bad things, especially being a medical provider. But yeah, no, it was obviously like that played into it. But then I started running. I was always kind of like a gym rat, like in my 20s and in my early 30s. But I started running more. I started getting into like trail running, but like I had to like, it was so much trial and error, so much trial and error. It was in the beginning, I did too much running and then I was awful at the obstacles. And then I kind of would go to more towards the obstacles, but then, oh wait, I'm not as good of a runner anymore. And like, it was finding that perfect, like sweet spot. And it's so
It's
hard to do.
such a fine balance, isn't it?
It's,
And there are a few people who are kind of naturally like Lindsay Webster. She's been off all year
yeah.
doing trail running and she's still
Yeah.
smashing it.
Oh,
Like there are a
absolutely.
few people who have naturally got it, but especially back in like 2011, 2012, when everything was so new, there was less information than there is now on how to balance it. And
Oh, absolutely.
it's such an all-round athlete that you have to create.
And that's the best part about being an OCR athlete, though. You have to have good core strength, you have to have good balance, you have to be both good at long distance, but also like, because I mean, any race, no matter what the distance, it has like sprinting and long distance endurance running. So like, you have to be good at everything. I love that aspect. Like, you never get bored. Like, my training is never boring. Like, this morning I was doing like bear crawls with like a heavy sandbag on my back, you know, while everybody's looking at me like I'm an idiot. Like, I love that. Or you know,
It
like
works
one
though,
of those
doesn't it?
deers in
You
your
know.
backyard, they're like, what's that guy doing? And why is he like then carrying like a big heavy rock up a hill?
But there are some sports that you do that are just repetitive. Let's say weightlifting.
Exactly.
I like weightlifting. I'm terrible at it, but it was something that I really enjoyed. But you can just do the same thing over and over and over every time you train. Like almost like drills, you're doing it, but like OCR, there are a lot of different ways to get good at it. And I, you know, it's going to be a while until someone finds kind of the formula or what the perfect OCR body or human is. We're still working it out, as I'd like to call it. It's a baby sport, but it is
Exactly.
interesting.
Oh yeah.
It
And
is
there's definitely,
interesting.
I mean, there's already like some research going into it. There's certainly, you know, like one of my kind of side gigs, I'm the chair of the medical chair of USA OCR. It's kind of my plug for that, by the way. So I'm always looking for medical providers to join my to join our committee. But
So what do you do on, sorry, tell me this and then I'll
oh
ask
yeah.
you what you do on that. Sorry, I'm getting
No, that's all
excited.
right. So USA OCR, we're basically a not-for-profit organization that started a few years ago. I've been with the organization for a year now, and basically just trying to kind of create like a uniformity to the sport, basically. And as the medical chair, basically making sure that like all races are safe and that we're, you know, not only that they're safe, but also that athletes are aware of, you know, ways to prevent being injured. And also, like you said, it's a baby sport. So like there's research. You go, you know, into like Western states, for example, like there's their website has tw over 20 years of research on athletes regarding like medical, like hyponatremia, like low sodium and things like that. Like I want that for OCR. Like in the future, a bunch of research shown, like you said, like this is the way to train. This is also the way to not get hurt, because you know, injuries happen all the time. You know, Sierra, it's you know, we I think everybody understands that, but nobody wants it to happen to them. I'm a perfect example of that from my last race.
Oh
And
gosh, yeah,
by
my
the
God,
way,
I had to catch up on as
that
well.
was not Tough Mudder's fault. That was my own stupidity trying to jump across from a balance beam.
I mean, do you know what? The balance beam is one of my favorite obstacles.
Oh, usually is
Purely
mine.
purely because I can do it, and it kind of astounds me that people can't do it. So I'm like, oh yay, finally I can do something. But that balance beam was pretty nasty.
It was
very thin and a bit bouncy. So yeah. I was like, that is a bit of a tough one.
Yeah, but you know, it is what it is.
So I was asked
by Ian Hosick, who's the vice president, to be the medical chair, and I've loved it. But I was looking for medical providers. I'm a PA by trade. I'm a physician assistant, but any medical providers that want to join us, I'm always looking for more.
I love that. I had Ian on a couple of, God, I don't even know what day it is. A couple of weeks ago, a couple of episodes ago, should we say? Maybe it was last episode. I don't even remember. After ACRWC, because he did really well with that.
I was so happy for him. He's like one of those athletes that is just.
He's been plugging away at it.
He just plugs along. Like he's, you know, like ups and downs, but like that was such a huge up for him. And he has been training his butt off for it. So anybody that works that hard and gets that result, I'm more than ecstatic for. So I'm so happy for him.
And also, as I discovered, is a coach who trains other athletes.
Very smart guy.
And it was nice. I got to learn a bit more about USA OCR and what he does. And so it's nice to hear another side of it and what happens. And it is, OCR is a little bit of a wild west, I guess. There's a lot of companies that, or a lot of brands, I don't know, that focused on money, obviously, because businesses and want to make money, and that is fine. And I'm part of that, and that's not a bad thing. But it's also not a bad thing to put protections in place for people and to make things safe and to make sure the integrity of the sport exists. So, yeah.
Exactly. And I think OCR as a business will flourish if we have like that unified voice, because the biggest thing is I want to see OCR. Like I want to see like my grandkids doing OCR. I want to see like my great grandkids doing OCR and then being like, look what great granddad did, you know, like 50 years ago when it's like in the Olympics.
He won the first ever.
Yeah, that would be like the coolest thing in the world. So I'm hoping that. That's my biggest hope for OCR is it's given so much to me. I have to get back to it. And I feel like that. It's one of the most important things to me right now is giving back, but also still racing and, you know, having my own individual future accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, it's important to also still be racing and be part of the sport because it's hard when you start doing other things because you don't take part in events. And if you're not on the ground, as it were, you don't really know what's going on and what the experience is. You only know it from the outside point of view. So it's important to speak to people who are still doing it and people who are part of it to kind of to get the reality of the experience and what's needed.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So do you see OCR going to the Olympics? Is that something that you would like?
I hope so. I definitely think it's in the cards. When that is, I don't know. But will it be when I'm still, you know, an athlete? Probably not. Or I think it'll probably be more the short course. Or the shorter courses again. Like I'm an ultra athlete. I'm an endurance athlete. Now, if it starts with shorter distances, but then gets to like a longer distance, I'd be very, very happy. But we'll kind of see where it goes. You know, like a lot of, I think the Olympic sports are more the more spectator friendly ones are the ones that kind of get in first, which makes sense. You know, it's really hard to. I mean, even some like World Toughest Mudder, it's hard. I mean, you guys did an amazing job of broadcasting it the whole 24 hours, but it's really hard to like broadcast something like that in 24 hours when all the athletes are just everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, having a course that's such a short loop does help. And so Jason Dupree is the producer and he kind of sets everything up and he ran almost 50 miles himself that weekend.
You can imagine.
But whilst producing at the same time, which is super cool.
I can't say enough about all you guys. I mean, I saw all of you like there the whole time. And I actually like watched a lot of it afterwards. And it was amazing. I mean, for that amount of time and distance, that's like probably a harder ultramarathon than what we did on the course.
Oh, not in the slightest. We get to sit with dry robes and cups of tea. Like, not even nearly.
Oh, you kidding me? I was having food and everything thrown in my face. I was being pampered the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
It is. It's so much fun. It's such a fun event. So as we're there, let's talk about World's Toughest Modern. Let's start with this year. It is such a fun event. Last year was my first time I went, and I was blown away by the event, and I loved it so much. I was really excited about this year. Different course, different place, different athletes, and it absolutely lived up, and it was great, and it was really good to see you running. But I'm just going to hand over to you and let you kind of give me your race recap, because it was a big weekend for you, and a lot
It
happened,
was
didn't it?
definitely big ups and downs throughout the race. I went into this race feeling probably stronger than I have since like Telluride, Colorado a few years ago for the Spartan Ultra World Championship. I felt so fit, so strong, really good training blocks. So like I was confident going into this race. I went off, and initially I thought, maybe I'm going too fast, but I felt great. I was running like with the top leaders, and then eventually I was in first for a good chunk of it, which again, like even just like with Iceland, it still surprises me because I don't see myself as like a great athlete. Like I just see myself as, I've always had like that imposter syndrome where like, am I actually that good? So being out front, but I was having a blast. I was smiling the whole time. It was just enjoyable. And I actually, by the way, I got to give a shout out to Chris Ruglowski, because she's the one that honestly reminded me of that from her like race the year prior. She
She's
was just smiling the whole
amazing.
time. And I looked back on that from when I won in Iceland back in 2017. I was smiling and joking the whole time. So I went into the race doing that, and it was awesome. I was smiling. I was like waving everybody, having fun. The obstacles were fun until it wasn't. And it was the injury. I struggled a little bit with the balance beam. So I still remember getting to the balance beam right before I fell and hit my chest. And I thought, you know what? Just take the penalty. It's not worth it. You're just going to slip. You're going to hurt yourself. And I was like, you know what? I could do it. Can
The thing
go
is,
faster.
though, I can understand, because one, the balance beam's not, if you can do a balance beam, you can do a balance beam. It's not a
Exactly.
particularly tough obstacle. The penalties were quite big on the obstacles. Like, people were saying they were adding a couple of miles onto each loop if you were failing. And even though it's a 24-hour race, the finishing times were not huge gaps, as we'll
Exactly.
kind of get to. So not wanting to take the risk of doing a penalty and perhaps losing a few minutes, it's not, I mean, I guess a race is
Unreasonable.
consistent. What is it that Will says? Will Hicks, from the Ocean Reports, he's like, World's Toughest Mudder is just constantly problem solving, is the way he
Oh,
describes it.
100%. But and that's honestly one of my favorite things about ultra races is that it's a chess game. Like the entire time you're thinking, okay, this person's behind me. If I do X, Y, and Z, but if I like take away Y, I'm going to get ahead a little bit more. Like you're basically playing mind games with your opponents the entire time. I love that aspect actually. But yeah, no, I got up to the balance beam. I thought it was the one penalty that actually wasn't that long. You just basically put some planks on your feet, and it actually wasn't a long distance. So that's why when I got there, I was like, you know what? It's not that long. Just take the penalty. I was like, no, I could probably get it. And I got about little more than halfway, and I started falling. So I'm like, I'm gonna jump across. And then I was on one balance beam, and when I fell, my chest just hit right on the other balance beam. And I knew right away, like I'm like, I was probably like, I probably broke a rib. This hurts. But it wasn't necessarily breathing. It was just every time I bent over, crawled, or tried to grab something from above, which
Which, I mean,
still
it happens a lot
is a
at
lot
World's
of
Toughest
obstacles.
Mudder. Yeah, there are a lot of crawls, a lot of... What time did that happen at? Like, roughly where in the race was that?
I'm not even quite sure. It was in the middle of the night. I know
So it was
that.
okay. So it was still dark. You still had the kind of the really
It
tough
was, I
period
think
to go
I was probably
plus.
either in first or second at that time. I think it was actually like right either before or right after Austin caught up to me. But yeah, no, and then after that it was just excruciating. Everything hurt. Everything other than actually running was kind of okay. It still hurt. But yeah, I ended up getting to my last lap, and I was my pit crew, like the third place, well, excuse me, fourth place, because I was in third at the time. They were like, he's like only a couple of minutes behind you now. I'm like, and I remember telling one of the camera guys, I'm like, this is gonna hurt this next lap a lot. And I just booked it. I booked it. I booked it. I booked it. I thought, I kept looking behind my back. I'm like, I don't see him. I saw him right at the beginning. My friend Joe, who ended up in third place, which still give him all the kudos in the world. Like he had an awesome run. Got to the finish line thinking that I had third place. Smiling, I was all happy. And finally I went over the finish line, hands up, and looked over to my left, and I saw Joe. And I'm like, he already finished. It was probably the biggest high to the big, it was like a roller coaster of emotion. It was rough, but I kind of had a pity party for like a minute or so with my pit crew, and then I went up to Joe and gave him a hug. You know, he deserved that. He deserved that podium. So I'm upset about what happened, but at the same time, it's like lit a fire under me. Like I've been, even with the injury, I'm finally running again this past week. I've been, just in the gym working on my strength, and I'm just going to come back better than ever next year.
I mean, I can't lie because obviously our tent's on the finish line, so we people see people coming over the finish. The last like hour or so of the race, actually 2 hours of the race, was so exciting. I wish I had my notepad here to show you the notes I was going through with everyone, the men. I actually got criticized for focusing on the men too much, which I never do. I always talk about women way more. And I was like, this one time, it was astonishing what happened between the men in the last couple of hours. And it was, but sitting there and we saw you come across the finish and that smile, and then when your face saw it and we just sat there going, oh shit.
Oh
It was so heartbreaking.
no. It
Like we
must have
just
been like looking at a car wreck when like I can't stop looking.
sucked so much to see that because we knew what, well, we didn't know what had happened actually. And after that, and I was like, I still don't know what had happened. So I went over to Race HQ to speak to Chris and I was like, I don't understand what happened and where it happened because I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but I want to understand because I like understanding stuff. It's like, what the heck happened? How? Because we were watching everything. We were watching you guys so closely and the timing, it just went from here to suddenly he was like 3 minutes behind you and then suddenly ahead. And I was like, what the heck? We're three obstacles from the end. How? And oh, it hurts so much to see that look on your face. It
It
was so
was,
sad.
I'm pretty certain it was during the Funky Monkey penalty.
It was,
Because
yeah.
I didn't have any brace. I used one of them because he had like the obstacle bypass. I had one left, so I used it on another obstacle, and I knew I was in so much pain that I was like, I
Yeah.
can't do this right now. So I was like, I'm just gonna run the penalty as fast as I can, the penalty loop. And I'm pretty sure that was it. You know,
Yeah.
Joe probably saved up some of his loops. He was a monster on the obstacles the whole time. Like I had just met him actually. At the Noob Sanity, which is basically like an obstacle course, like a standing obstacle course over in upstate New York. And we actually, a couple of weeks before World's Toughest Mudder, we basically did, well, I did with him and other people kind of trickling in throughout the day, like a 10-hour run through this obstacle course in like the pouring rain, mud and water. And the
Oof.
entire time saying to them, I'm like, it was like 30 degrees. And I'm like, it's going to be beautiful in Texas because of this. And it
I mean, it
was.
was beautiful anyway. It was gorgeous weather that weekend.
But
It was a really nice weekend,
oh
but
yeah,
compared
well,
to that, especially,
the weather was amazing. I think one of the things that helped me the most, and I'm going to continue doing this, and I've told a couple of others, so it's no secret, is sauna running. I so the heat,
That sounds hellish.
Oh, it's awful. So, I mean, I'm from New Hampshire where it's cold here. Like all my training was in like 30s, 20s, 40s tops. So like, but to acclimate to the heat, I would just go in the sauna. I would sit there for like 5 minutes or so. And then for like 1 to 2 minute intervals, I would just run as fast as I can in place, you know, do like 1 or 2 minutes, rest for a minute, and just keep doing that until like 15, 20 minutes were up. And I think that helped a lot actually, because other people were really feeling the heat. And I was like,
It was hot. I
hey,
mean,
I can
I
feel
got like
okay.
sun. I was wearing factor 50, and I got
Yeah.
sunburned by sitting still. It was really hot and
It
dry and dusty.
was definitely it, but I think that also I have asthma. So honestly, like dry is actually better for my
Oh, is
asthma
it? Okay.
than like humidity. So I felt great running that
Nice.
entire time with the heat. But I think that definitely helps. So anybody that either has alt and I, this wasn't my idea, by the way, like this what do you call it, like masochism
Yeah.
being in the sauna doing that. It was actually my coach Josh Reed at the time. He was coaching me for a while when I was preparing for Telluride, Colorado, because again we're flat here and there's no really good way for me to train for altitude. So he's had me doing that to like build up my blood volume plasma to basically be ready. And I felt good for the most part, other than throwing up once.
I mean, who doesn't throw up
Other than
once or
throwing
twice,
up
huh?
once, like it felt great.
So training, doing the sauna routine, the sauna training would help with altitude.
Surprisingly, it's one of it, and there's actually good research on it. But
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
it helped me a lot actually for the altitude training, but and of course for like any like hot weather like race that you might have.
Yeah. So last year, well, not last year. I say it's last year, but it wasn't. The last event for OCRWC was in
Oh yeah.
Banff, California, which was really high.
Yep.
And, you know, that was a big reason why a lot of people didn't come. And it was awful. And it was very hot as well. I had to buy shorts. I wasn't prepared. I
Yep.
had like hoodies and all this stuff, thinking it was going to be snowy. It
Oh.
was hot and dry and
Oh,
high. And we've not announced our location for 24 yet, but we are returning to the mountains of California. So we can assume it's going to be high.
definitely
But
gonna
this.
try and get to this
Oh, you
year.
should. It
Oh,
would be so good having
it looked amazing, and just like being around those mountains would be
you
so much fun.
there.
So I'm most likely planning on being there.
That would be so good.
Or
It would be
else
so
in like,
lovely to have you there
oh.
and to see you racing with
Yeah.
us again. But it's I know that the altitude was a big thing that stopped people wanting to race, and I get it. I mean, also the travel again, but you know my theory on that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the travel I had so much fun doing. That's another story. But it's good to know that there are other solutions, because there are athletes who, I mean, the Danes, for example, who, you know, Leon did
Oh
really
yeah.
well, but they came out and spent a couple of weeks in, I think, in Colorado to kind of start to prepare, which people can't
Exactly.
afford to do. So it's nice to know there are other options if you live in a flat place. And I live in a very flat place, but I'm not going in a sauna. So.
It's definitely the from what I've researched, the really, I mean, other than, you know, like doing the sauna, there's either getting there and acclimating like you said, like the Dane said, for a couple of weeks, which I did some of that for Colorado. I slowly worked my way up to Telluride, which is like 9,500, 10,000 feet. But also just, or getting there like right before the race. So
So you
like,
just trick your body.
yeah, just basically like, you're not going to do this to me yet. We're going to wait like a day or two, and then you're going to make me feel awful.
Yeah, see, I was very fortunate. I didn't feel awful in terms of there was no sickness or anything like that. I know I
Yeah.
wasn't running. Well, I was running a bit, like 100 meters maybe. But it was just even going upstairs was like boom, 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 boom. You know,
Oh,
it's
your heart rate is just
and I
jacked up the
forget.
whole
So
time.
I was the HQ was in like a ski lodge with lots of stairs, and I just run up the stairs because that's what you do. And then I get to people like, you gotta stop doing that.
What? Why can't I breathe? I didn't do too
It's
much.
really hard to exist.
That's, I mean, I definitely have felt that. I've certainly had like altitude sickness at races. I mean, when they used to have the Spartan Ultra World Championship, I mean, the Spartan World Championships at in Tahoe, it was very similar. It was just 6,000 feet starting out, and yeah, I mean, my tallest mountain here, Mount Washington, is 6,000 feet. So. that's like the base most of those mountains. So it's tough, definitely. I do certainly prefer the races that are below altitude like that, but you know, it's like you said, they're so beautiful though. Like it kind of stinks having like that little bit of performance down, but those mountains is just so gorgeous. And plus the obstacles at OC World Championships are just so much fun. So much fun.
They are pretty good, I will say that.
But
But
yeah, I think definitely this year I'll definitely make it up there again.
amazing. And what
But
about talking about heat and Tough Mudder? There's
yeah.
the Alula Infinity with huge prize monies.
I
Prize monies? Money.
wish I could make it. I know Matt Davis has been kind of messaging me back and
He's
forth.
trying
He's
to
like,
get you on
"Are
it.
you in? Are you in? Are you in?" I'm like, "Oh, you're killing me, dude." So my full-time job is a college professor for a PA program, and my students graduate the week after.
No.
And I'm like preparing them basically for graduation and for
Oh
basically
no. Yeah, you
being
can't really get around
full-fledged
that, can you?
providers. So that's my main reason. I would love, and I still will try and go there someday. But unfortunately not on the cards. Hopefully they'll have it again next year. I can kind of finagle something to be able to go. But I mean that's right up my alley
I
too.
know. You'll be so good.
I'm actually really, really excited to watch it though. It's going to bring out some amazing talent, awesome athletes, and it's just going to be so cool to watch. I think it's going to, my prediction, it's going to be very close between the finishers, like incredibly close in such a good way.
Well, it was really nice. Spartan World Championships just happened in Abu Dhabi, and that was nice to see because we've had a couple of years where the top athletes have not been competing together. Like we've had, feels like the championships have been quite separated, and we had a lot of the really great people competing against each other in Abu Dhabi, and it's really good to see because there are all these questions of how is this person going to perform against this person, and it's really exciting to see all these different athletes, see different people, and I mean, and it's so nice as well because we've got kind of it got a little bit boring for a few years, and then there was kind of like a new wave of OCR athlete, but we've still got our kind of like original cohort as well
Oh,
coming, some
absolutely.
coming back, some that have stayed, and it's again really exciting. And it's funny because you're like, oh well, you know, I'm old. I mean, not really, but I mean, I do see some of the young guys, and I'm like, I feel really old.
No, I
But with endurance, I mean, women and older people, they do well at endurance, right?
That's actually one of my favorite things about endurance races is there's like this duality to it, or there's two modes where, and this has been studied for marathons, but it's the same thing with ultra marathons as well, where you're really good in your 20s and then like 30s, you kind of go down. But then like again, like in your like 30s, 40s. Luckily for me, I was a late bloomer. So even though I'm 42, I just say that I'm like 36.
So can I use the excuse of being in my 30s for the reason why I
Oh,
suck a bit?
100%. Yeah,
So okay, so when I hit 40.
you're gonna have that second peak and you're gonna be like dominating everywhere.
Great. Great. Although I did realize this is completely off the path. We were talking last night and I was like, oh, it was about race dates, and I was like, oh, 2025. And then something just hit me and I was like, crap. What? In 3 weeks, I'll be 40 next year. And I just had
Oh
like a whole
no.
breakdown. I
It's
was like, I'm gonna be 40. And but you know, if it means that I'm gonna get good at stuff again, that's fine.
Exactly. It's funny cause that you say that because you know again like I had that like that huge peak. I was oh my goodness like 6 years ago. So I was like 38 when I won the world championship for Spartan for the Ultra World Championship, and I was like, oh my goodness, is this my like peak? I'm like, is this it? I'm done. And I had that fear going into my 40s. And I could tell you and everybody else listening that like is nearing their 40s, it doesn't stop. You just have to be smarter. But honestly, it's funny because I knew that. I was like, oh, you know, like I'm gonna have to do X, Y, and Z more. But like I love it, like mobility. I never did mobility.
So that's
Like
one
until
thing
I
I'm
was
good at.
So you're already way ahead of the game.
I'm very like, yeah, I can do stretchy and bendy and sit in a squat for hours at a time and all that stuff. But I'm not very like, to be honest, after having a kid, which was 6 years ago, but still, it's my core. My core is just destroyed and it doesn't seem to matter what I do. I can't get it back. We did a Savage, so covered with the OCR report, the Savage Pro Series this year. And after Texas, I was like, I'll stay in the States for another week, travel down to Florida for the final, but then ran Savage afterwards, which was not fun in Florida, even though it was November. I did not realize how hot it would be. And I'm from Manchester, which is really cold. It was hellish. But like, even just 5K, my back was hurting. And I was like,
oh no,
this sucks. Like, I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know what path to take to kind of, to get strong again. And
it's so hard. I mean, I go back and forth with that. You know, like I worked in a spine clinic before I was like a full-time teaching as a PA. And I remember one day actually, cause like in my spine clinic, I was doing like snatches or something like that. And all of a sudden I threw the weight up. I'm like, that doesn't feel good throughout my back. So I'm like hobbling like into like my spine clinic saying, like, and they're like, hi. I see my patient's face is like, are they making fun of me? Is he making fun of me? Or is this a guy that's going to treat me? It's just, it happens, you know, like our spine becomes weaker, our discs become less, you know, wet. So yeah, they herniate. Yeah. They just dry out, unfortunately, but but doing those extra things though, now that I'm like in my 40s, honestly, it's actually, not only is it prolong my running like now into like, you know, not necessarily my mid 40s, but nearing that, where I actually, it's improved my running significantly. It's improved my running, it's improved my strength, everything. Like just doing those extra things that I never did, because if I don't, I wouldn't be able to. Like nutrition as well. Like I'm more mindful of what I eat, but also I think you have more of that drive. Like I can race against, you know, like a 23-year-old, or not even so much the drive, but like the intelligence to not go all out in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of bring
it's
back.
Crazy, isn't it? That difference of experience.
Oh, the experience helps so much. Absolutely. Especially in like endurance sports. Like experience is critical. And I still learn. I still make mistakes all the time. I still make the same mistakes, which I'm like, dude, like what the hell were you thinking? Like, why did you know, try out new shoes, or why did you like eat this? You know it's not good during a race, but it's always trial and error. Like throughout life and racing, as long as you keep learning, that's the most important thing. And it never becomes stagnant. Like it's still not stagnant. I get so excited thinking about the next race season still. And I hope I never lose that.
Yeah. I think it's very important to have, I'm not an athlete. I'm just a person who likes to do sports sometimes. I'm never
going to
compete.
Oh, you're an athlete.
And I definitely am the type of person who has to have something in the calendar to look forward to. And I gave myself a challenge last year, did it, it's all good. And then I wasn't sure what I was going to do in 2024. And I got so excited at World's Toughest Mudder. And Giles, I was there with Giles, and he's like, You should probably do an infinity. And I was like, yeah, I probably should, shouldn't I?
Are you going to do it?
I think I will.
Yes.
So I don't know. If you want to send any tips on how to go catch to infinity in 6 months, please do.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you all the tips. I mean, it's just, honestly, it's just time on feet. You got to get like that time on feet, and that's any endurance. So, I mean, I actually started out doing the death race. Like that was my first endurance thing. And I barely finished, but I finished with the finisher skull, which was like the amazing trophy that you get if you're an official finisher. And prior to that, I had run, my longest run was like 10 miles and you're on your feet. I think it was 75 hours was the first one that I did. No sleep, on your feet the whole time, but like
holy macaroni.
Training for it was just time on feet. Like it didn't matter the distance. Like it was just building up that endurance over time, but also, you know, with the infinity, like feeding off of the people around you, like the time, you'll look at the time and that's daunting. You'll be like 8 hours. That's a long time. but it passes by so quickly. And like, before you know it, you're like, you look and then you're like, wait a minute, I'm almost done.
I'm slightly concerned about the state of my body and how it'll hold up. But I did. So what I did this year, which was my challenge, was my first marathon. It was a road marathon. It was so damn boring. It was so boring. And I got so bored.
Never done one.
I walked and it took me 5 hours. But I'm like, do you know what? If I can run and move by myself on a road for five hours, I can 100% do an OCR with people around me.
100%. 100%.
And that's going to be way more interesting.
Yeah, the obstacles to break up the running. That's the best part of OCR.
That's the best part of OCR. You know what? I'd ever done one, and I had a friend who I was at uni with who'd done one, and I was like, oh, what's it like? And she's like, it's fine. You don't really have to run. You run for like 200 or 300 meters, and there's an obstacle so you can stop. And I was like, great. And that's kind of what sold it for me, because running's hard.
It breaks out the monotony. It's so much fun. Like everything about like OCR is fun. You're going to have a blast at Infinity. I know you will. But also, like, and you experienced this firsthand, the community at Tough Mudder.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
Electric. It's electric.
I wasn't a Tough Mudderer. I was actually quite publicly not Tough Mudder because of the whole origin story. And then when it came about that, like, Will asked me, I've spoken about this a few times, is like, do you want to do the coverage? And I was like, ooh, this is a moral dilemma. But Tough Mudder is owned by Spartan now, and I've always been a Spartan, and I love Spartan, so I feel like I can do it. And I just, having never experienced it, and it was kind of weird. It's like, okay, so you're going to do coverage of World's Toughest Mudder, having never done a Tough Mudder, which is one of the reasons I need to do Infinity. Yep. I need to know a bit more.
Exactly.
But it was kind of like, the idea was, well, one, I know I can talk for a very long time, but two, I'm going to be learning about the event, and you can teach me and everyone watching whilst I talk about what people are doing. But it's amazing. Like, the community, honestly, the end of the weekend, I text Adrian. I was like, community at Tough Mudder is above and beyond anything else in OCR. And I don't know how we get there, but we want to get there with our community, because there's something like what's the Tough Mudder word for, you know, the opening dinner and the bar crawl, like, it's all community driven.
Oh, it's huge.
These aren't kind of like corporate ideas to get people involved and stuff. It's driven by the community. And it's actually a really small event in the grand scheme of things. But it's
absolutely
like, yeah, sold.
The people are amazing. I mean, I think it's in the nature of the obstacles themselves. You know, like, a lot of obstacles you can't complete without other people. Like, and that's kind of been like Tough Mudder's thing, like, right from the get-go. But in that, kind of brought forward this community of, you know, like, helping each other out, and that's how I've always kind of separated Spartan. I was on the Spartan Pro team. So for me to say that as well, you know, I was always like Spartan. For Spartan, it's more like you're inside you, like you take what you have inside and you individually, like, complete, you know, struggle, complete, you know, don't get me wrong, like, I love the competition as well in Spartan. Like, we're all, like, really good friends as competitors. You know, like, my friend Tyler McCready, like, every time we do an ultra together, like, I always beat him on the uphills. He always beats me on the downhills. And we slap each other's ass every time we go by each other. Like, so there is that camaraderie, but that's more of what the camaraderie is like. It's competitive camaraderie. Mm-hmm. At Tough Mudder, though, it's so much different. I mean, like, even, like, we had like, a dance-off. Like, me and other Tyler Vierman, like, we did, like, they literally started like a circle and we had like a dance off, like, at the start line, like, 2 minutes before the race started.
it's strange, isn't it? I was quite blown away with how silly it is as a brand and event.
Yeah.
But it's a really, really tough and serious competition. And I'm like, it's a big contrast to hold, both as a brand, but also as an athlete. When you're like, I can imagine if it was me doing it. I remember last year, 2022, there was an penalty, which was space hoppers. And I was like, how do you not basically lose your shit when you're trying to compete and you're trying to, like, it's weird, isn't it? Because it is so silly, and the sillier they get, the better it is. But 100%. It is a tough, serious competition.
It is definitely the duality of that race. It is amazing. It's, you know, like you said, like, it's so silly at times. And I think what really prepared me for that was doing the death race. Like I even still, because I live close to Pittsfield, Vermont, where they have the death race, and I can always when I usually go for like half a day just to watch the racers. I did it 4 times. I'm like, I'm not doing this again. But I'll always go and I'll be like, you know what? I can tell you right away who's gonna finish and who's not by the people that are laughing and smiling versus the people that are complaining and miserable.
Really?
Because it's so silly the things that they make you do. And if you're laughing, you're like, oh, whatever, this is stupid, but it's fun, whatever. Like, you'll do better. And the same thing, like, even with World's Toughest Mudder, the more you can kind of just be like, hey, this is silly, whatever, you know, it is what it is, the better you will do. And those are always the athletes that do better. You look at like Mark Batras, I think he was like drinking beers like in between like his ridiculous amount of miles that he did. And going back again, like I said, to what I noticed about Chris the year prior as well, just smiling, having fun the whole time. Those are the people that do the best in a really long endurance race like that, because it's not like a 5K where you're serious and redlining the whole time. You're going at a slower pace, but you're having fun the whole time. And that's it's so exciting. It's so much fun. So anybody listening that even think about like doing a 24-hour race, just sign up. Just do it. It's
What's worst
fun.
could happen?
It's
Just
fun.
do
Yeah, worst thing happened. You crack a rib, whatever.
it. It heals. Everything heals.
It is. I'm almost healed already. It's only been like 5 weeks. I'm good.
I'm so glad. It was so, oh, you looked like you were in so much pain. And then at the brunch, and you're like, I think it could be this. And if it's this, it's going to be bad news. But you seem to have been, from what I can see on social, kind
It's
of healing pretty quickly.
amazing, actually. And I still, the human body amazes me, like my own human body, like to this day, like how much you can injure yourself and heal from it. And my friend Mark, who's a trauma surgeon, I remember he was poking and prodding me like after the race, because I was staying with him. And he like poked down. He's like, I was like, yeah, it's uncomfortable. And they squeezed my chest. I was like, oh, that really hurts. He's like, that sounds like a costochondral injury, which is basically the cartilage that connects your rib to the sternum, your breastbone. And that's basically what my x-ray showed. I didn't break a rib, but I had that soft cartilage type injury. And those just heal a lot slower than ribs do. They don't have the blood supply that ribs, like
And
bones and
even ribs
muscles
take a
do.
long time.
Exactly. But the fact that I'm only 5 weeks in and I'm running again, and I like maybe like I just feel a little bit of something. Like I can't do pull-ups yet, which is a bummer because I love pull-ups. But I can do everything else, and it's been 5 weeks. So I'm so happy. I'm
That's really
so
good.
grateful for this body. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So, what's your if healing and training all goes to plan, what's the race outlook for 2024 looking like?
So my two big races that I'm planning for, number one is the Ultra World Championship for Spartan in France. I'm so excited about that. I've never been to
It's going to
France.
be mega. I love France. And
I mean, I also get to stop and see friends that live in, I don't know, like the UK.
oh, maybe, yeah, that'd
I'm so excited because I've watched videos, I've seen pictures of like the last Morzine races in France. I'm even like on Duolingo, like trying to learn a little bit of French before July.
Oh, do you know what though? I
So
love France and I love the French, but you try and speak French there, and they're just like,
oh, yeah,
what?
I feel like they're gonna look at me and be like, yeah, you're an idiot.
But
just
do
race.
it anyway. It's so much fun. And oh
Oh,
no, that area of the
100%.
world is beautiful and it's right. I'm just going to check my geography because my geography does kind of suck, but it's right next to Switzerland as far as
It
I'm aware.
is. Yep,
And
it's right
I
on the border of Switzerland in the French
love
Alps. Oh,
Switzerland. Love, love, love Switzerland. Beautiful mountains. Like, you're going to have such a treat being there. And it's, I mean, Europe is such a treat, I think, anyway. It's so much fun.
So yeah, that's my A race coming up. I'm definitely going to spend a lot of time in the mountains, become a really fast mountain runner again, and then following that, get back to the flatland to train for World's Toughest Mudder. So that's kind of like my next big race after that is I want revenge. Not on anybody else but myself.
Fury's return.
Exactly. You know, the year prior was to get 100 miles. I was, and even before that, actually, I swear it's like every other year I get what I want or I get my race goal. Because 21, I literally signed up for World's Toughest Mudder immediately after I did Telluride. And it was probably the smartest, dumbest thing I ever did. I think 3 weeks prior, I just did Telluride, where it was a gnarly mountain race.
Mm.
And then I got to like 75 miles quick. And then the wheels just fell off in 21. So then I came back for 22 with the primary goal of getting 100 miles, and I got it. And then I remember Mark came up to me. I mean, Matt Davis came up to me. He's like, "You're going to win next year, right?" And I'm like, "I wish you didn't say that." So I went into it 22 thinking like, I want to win. And that happened, the injury. Mm. So I want to come back. I want to compete. You know, 43 years old. I think I can win. I want to see that.
And just to finish, I'm going to rewind back to something you said way ages ago, and I may just misquote you here, but I didn't want to interrupt you at the time. You're like, "Oh, you know, I'm never, you know, I'm not a great athlete, and I've never been a great athlete." And I was there going, "I've always heard your name. I've always heard your name and always thought of you as a great athlete. So don't discount yourself and what you do, because for me," and I, you know, pay some attention to some people, "you have been to me. So keep that in the back pocket and come back for 24.
I appreciate that so much. You know, it's for everything that I've been through throughout my life and my athletic career. I still think I'm dreaming a lot of times when people like say like, you're a great athlete, you're an athlete, period. You know, I've said this on other like podcast interviews, like I was not an athlete growing up.
Mm.
I, you know, kid with asthma and a bad back and, you know, sat on the bench for every sport I played. I, you know, I did way too much partying in my 20s. You know, I kind of had hit like a low point at that during that time and came back. And yeah, it's been a really long road to where I am. But if there's one thing I've always wanted, and I dreamed about this every time that I like thought about winning, just winning a world championship or even just winning a race, was that I could be an example to other people. Mm. And I could like be like that person that somebody's like, "You know what? I want to be a great athlete, but I'm just not good enough. I want to be that example for that person because I've been there and I'm continuing to be there."
Yeah. I love that. Amazing. I think on that note, let's wrap it up there, because that's such a lovely place to finish.
I love it.
I love that attitude. And it is nice. Again, it's easy to see the 26-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, and kind of go, "Oh, well, I can't do that because, you know, now I'm older and I've had a kid and I've done this and this and this." But it's nice to be reminded that, because my goal, to be perfectly honest, is to create a strong body that's going to get me through the rest of my life. Not to do anything else. And I'm kind of at the point of no return. I feel like I've got to do it. I've got to keep on it. And it's good to know you can, you know, keep, there is so much strength left and there's so much time left.
Yes.
And I think we were fooled by like people in their 40s when we were younger, because they looked really old. And now we're getting here and we're like, "I'm not old."
No, we were fooled. We were bamboozled.
So we just got to keep pushing it and keep telling people, "No, yeah, there's plenty of life left." So yeah.
Absolutely.
You
definitely will. I'm excited to see how you do in Infinity.
Thank you. I've got to do it now. I've said it publicly.
Yes. Yep. It's recorded.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me again. And I hope you continue to heal up well. And good luck with the training. I'll be
pleasure.
Cheering you on throughout the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.